Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar and Dir Maseches Chulin Daf Nun Beis, the third parak Eilat Treifus. The Zichu Maseches Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting kinyan and Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three daps are going to focus on number one, the case of Dibuk, glue, where a bird was caught on a glue board and was pulled to the ground when it tried to fly away. Ravashi permits the bird, but a Amemar forbids it, considering it Nefula, fallen. In the first version, all agree that Bechad Gapa, where one wing was stuck to the trap, it's permitted, because the flapping of its second wing softened its fall. They argue where both wings were stuck, where Amema reasons it could not slow its fall, and Ravashi holds, as should the Nekoma Ikbe Degape, it can possibly lift itself with the stump of its wings. In the second version, all agree that if both wings were stuck, it's forbidden, and they argue where one wing was stuck. Ravashi says it flaps its second wing, softening its fall, but Amemar holds that since it cannot fly with its first wing, it cannot fly with its second wing either. The halacha is that it's forbidden when both wings are caught and permitted if one wing is caught. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that Nishtabru Rov Tzla HaSela, if most of the ribs are broken, it's a trefa. A braisa defines most of the ribs as either 6 on each side, or 11 on one side and 1 on the other, accounting to 12 out of 22 ribs. Ziri said the break must be mechetzion klapi shidra, from their midpoints toward the spine, meaning the upper half of the ribs. Rabbi Yochanan said they must be in the large ribs, which contain marrow. Ben Zaka says nakru barob tzad echad, if the ribs were uprooted, it's a trefa where most of one side is uprooted, meaning 6 ribs, as opposed to broken ribs, which require majority of both sides, meaning 12 ribs, to be a trefa. Rabbi Yochanan says that uprooted ribs are also only a trefa if 12 ribs are uprooted. Rav says, if a single rib was uprooted together with a vertebra, it's a trefa. This is clarified to mean a rib and part of the vertebra. If the entire vertebra is uprooted, it's gistra, split in two, and is a nevela. Rav Yochanan's case was buchna below sisa. The pestle, so to speak, was uprooted without the mortar, meaning the rib was uprooted, but the vertebra was intact. And pointing with you, the Mishnah taught the drusus hazev, an animal clawed by a wolf, is a trefa. Yudah says this is only true for a small animal, but only a lion makes a large animal a trefa. The Gemara discusses if the Tanakhama argues and holds a wolf's clawing even makes a large animal a trefa. Rav Chisa says that a kid or lamb, which is Drusus Chatu Onimia, clawed by a cat or marten, is a trefa. The Gemara proves from a braisa that cat and marten only make an animal trefa if they puncture the chalal, the abdominal cavity, but not from merely clawing, and answers that Rav Chisa follows the Tana Baribi, who said that a cat's clawing is only not lethal, but makom she'ein matzilin, where there are no rescuers trying to save the victim. But if one is trying to save it, the cat is angered and injects lethal venom with its claws. The same applies where the victim saves itself, which is why a hen, without rescuers, once escaped from a cat into a room, and when the cat swiped the closed door, 5 red spots, indicating poison, were found there. In another version, the Rabban who disagrees with Baribi hold that a cat always makes its victim a trefa, even without rescuers, and Rav Chisda follows them. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, in the case of Dibuk, glue, where a bird was caught on a glue board and was pulled to the ground when it tried to fly away, Ravashi permits the bird, but a Amemar forbids it, considering it Nefula, fallen. In the first version, all agree that Bechad Gapa, where one wing was stuck to the trap, it's permitted, because the flapping of its second wing softened its fall. They argue where both wings were stuck, where Amemar reasons it could not slow its fall, and Ravashi holds, as should the Nekoma Ikbe Degape, it can possibly lift itself with the stump of its wings. In the second version, all agree that if both wings were stuck, it's forbidden, and they argue where one wing was stuck. Ravashi says it flaps its second wing, softening its fall, but Amemar holds that since it cannot fly with its first wing, it cannot fly with its second wing either. The halacha is that it's forbidden when both wings are caught and permitted if one wing is caught. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that Nishtabru Rov Tzla HaSela, if most of the ribs are broken, it's a trefa. A braisa defines most of the ribs as either 6 on each side, or 11 on one side and 1 on the other, accounting to 12 out of 22 ribs. Ziri said the break must be mechetzion klapi shidra, from their midpoints toward the spine, meaning the upper half of the ribs. Rabbi Yochanan said they must be in the large ribs, which contain marrow. Ben Zaka says nakru barob tzad echad, if the ribs were uprooted, it's a trefa where most of one side is uprooted, meaning 6 ribs, as opposed to broken ribs, which require majority of both sides, meaning 12 ribs, to be a trefa. Rabbi Yochanan says that uprooted ribs are also only a trefa if 12 ribs are uprooted. Rav says nekrit selav achuliyama, if a single rib was uprooted together with a vertebra, it's a trefa. This is clarified to mean selav achetzichulia, a rib and part of the vertebra. If the entire vertebra is uprooted, it's gistra, split in two, and is a nevela. Rav Yochanan's case was buchne b'lo sisa. The pestle, so to speak, was uprooted without the mortar, meaning the rib was uprooted, but the vertebra was intact. And pointing with you, the Mishnah taught that drusus hazev, an animal clawed by a wolf, is a trefa. Rav Yehuda says this is only true for a small animal, but only a lion makes a large animal a trefa. The Gemara discusses if the Tanna Kamma argues and holds a wolf's clawing even makes a large animal a trefa. Rav Chissa says that a kid or lamb, which is drusus chatul onimia, clawed by a cat or marten, is a trefa. The Gemara proves from a braisa that cat and marten only make an animal trefa if they puncture the chalal, the abdominal cavity, but not from merely clawing, and answers that Rav Chissa follows the Tanna Baribi, who said that a cat's clawing is only not lethal, but makum she'en matzilin, where there are no rescuers trying to save the victim. But if one is trying to save it, the cat is angered and injects lethal venom with its claws. The same applies when the victim saves itself, which is why a hen, without rescuers, once escaped from a cat into a room, and when the cat swiped the closed door, 5 red spots, indicating poison, were found there. In another version, the Rabban who disagree with Baribi hold that a cat always makes its victim a trefa, even without rescuers, and Rav Chisda follows them. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Nun Beis, and our standard Siman is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. A newbie to Yiddishkeit, so here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit who regretted his past when he used to torture birds by setting out glue traps and making them a trefa when they fell while trying to fly away, and when he would make animals trefas by breaking most of their ribs, devoted his life to saving lambs from being clawed by cats, which would make them trefas. Once again in slow motion. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must be more on Duff. Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit who regretted his past when he used to torture birds by setting out glue traps and making them a trefa when they fell while trying to fly away, which reminds us, in a case of dibbuk, glue, where a bird was caught on a glue board and was pulled to the ground when it tried to fly away, Rav Ashi permits the bird, but a Maimor forbids it considering it nefua, fallen. In the first version, all agree that Bechad Gapa, where one wing was stuck to the trap, it's permitted because the flapping of its second wing softened its fall. They argue where both wings were stuck, where a Maimar reasons it would not slow its fall, and Rav Ashi holds it can possibly lift itself with the stumps of its wings. The Gemara brings a second version of the Machlokas. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit, who regretted his past when he used to torture birds by setting out glue traps and making them a trefa when they fell while trying to fly away, and when he would make animals trefas by breaking most of their ribs, which reminds the Gemara discusses the case of ribs which are broken or uprooted. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit, who regretted his past when he used to torture birds by setting out glue traps and making them a trefa when they fell while trying to fly away, and when he would make animals trefas by breaking most of their ribs, devoted his life to saving lambs from being clawed by cats, which would make them trefas, which reminds us the Gemara discusses the clawing of a wolf and a cat. So once again, the newbie to Yiddishkeit who regretted his past when he used to torture birds by setting out glue traps and making them a trefa when they fell while trying to fly away, and when he would make animals trefas by breaking most of their ribs, devoted his life to saving animals from being clawed by cats, which would make them trefos. All right, so now it's time for our four blabach hazara. Daf Mem Ches. So the Siman Daf Mem Ches writes the Moch, the brain, and we use brainiacs. So here goes. The brainiacs, brainiacs, that must be Daf Mem Ches, Moch, brain. The brainiacs were stunned in the intelligence contest when Team Lung lunged ahead by describing how to determine the location of the hole when the lung had a sircha to the chest wall, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Rea hasmucha adofen, if a lung was attached to the chest wall, in choshishinwa, we're not concerned that the lung was punctured and the leaking fluids caused the adhesion, rather than we assume the chest wall was punctured. If blisters developed at the adhesion, we're concerned the lung was punctured. Avimi said that in both cases, we suspect the lung was punctured. So the brainiacs were stunned in the intelligence contest when Team Lung lunged ahead by describing how to determine the location of the hole when the lung had a sircha to the chest wall, and define when we say the chest wall conceal a hole in the lung, which reminds the Gemara discusses when the chest wall conceal a hole in the lung. The chest wall conceal a punctured lung where it adhered to the wall in the place of growth, meaning where the lung naturally lies against the wall. So the seal will likely remain. When the adhesion is not in a place where the lung is naturally against the chest wall, the seal will not remain effective. So the brainiacs were stunned in the intelligence contest when Team Lung lunged ahead by describing how to determine the location of the hole when the lung had a sircha to the chest wall, and define when we say the chest wall can seal a hole in the lung, but made a sharp comeback when they described how a needle can get into the lung without making a hole, which reminds us, Amraim discussed machat shenimses bereah. If a needle was found in the lung and there's no discernible hole, some Amraim ruled a kosher, while others ruled a trefa. The lenient opinion holds that since there's no discernible hole, we assume simponu nakav asai, the needle entered through the vessels of the lung after going down the trachea without puncturing the lung. The stringent opinion assumes that it came by puncturing the digestive tract and lung after being swallowed through the esophagus. Daf Mem Tes, so the Simmer Daf Mem Tes is meat, and we use a butcher in the Simmer. So here goes. The butcher, that must be on Daf Mem Tes. The butcher who knows the hole in the lungs that he was handling with his hands and was unsure if the hole was there from before or if he created it, which reminds us, if the lung was found punctured in a place which the hand of the butcher handles and the hole may have been made by the butcher after Shechita, Talin and Olo Talin, do we attribute the hole to the butcher's handling, which was after Shechita, or do we not attribute it to him and it's a treifa? The Gemara records Amoraim who held each way and says, the halacha is that we can attribute the hole to the butcher's handling. So the butcher who noticed the hole in the lungs he was handling with his hands and was unsure if the hole was there from before or if he created it, was amused watching his helper Yishmael bless all the Kohanim who came in to purchase some chelev shel hakeva, which reminds us, Rabbi Shai said that regarding the chelev which was on the keva, the abu mesim, the fourth stomach, Kohanim, who received the keva as a gift for Kohanim, have the practice of permitting it, following Rabbi Yishmael's teaching in his ancestor's name. The simon for this permit is Yishmael Kohana Masai Kahane. Yishmael the Kohen helps Kohanim. We find him helping Kohanim in a brisa discussing Birchas Kohanim, where the pasuk instructs Kohanim to bless Bnei Israel. Rabbi Shmuel says this only teaches about the Kohanim blessing Bnei Israel, but the bracha for Kohanim themselves is written in the later phrase, Vani Avarachim, and I will bless them, meaning Kohanim. Thus, Kohanim bless Bnei Israel, and Akash Baruch Hu blesses Kohanim. Rabbi Kiva brings a different pasuk to support the Kohanim are blessed. So, the butcher who noticed the hole in the lungs that he was handling with his hands and was unsure if the hole was there from before or if he created it, was amused watching his helper Yishmael bless all the Kohanim who came in to purchase some chelev shel hakeva. When a man burst into the store demanding a refund on an animal that had a puncture that was sealed by chelev tameh, which is not considered a seal, which reminds us, Rav says chelev tower is so same. Permitted fat conceal a puncture and prevent the animal from becoming a trefa. But chelev tameh ain't a sosim. But forbidden fat cannot seal a puncture. Rav Sheshe says that both conceal punctures. Daf Nun. So the Simran Daf Nun is a non-stop flight. So here goes. The passenger on the non-stop flight. Non-stop flight? That must be on Daf Nun. The passenger on the non-stop flight who showed his seatmate how to compare holes in the intestines by rubbing on the new ones, which reminds us, Gemara discusses Mekifin, comparing holes in the B'nai Ma'ayim, the Re, and the Kana to determine if the puncture was there before or after the Shechita. So the passenger on the non-stop flight who showed his seatmate how to compare holes in the intestines by rubbing on the new ones stared at the man who thought he could stomach the video identifying the Karas HaPnimi as the area the butchers exposed when they slit the belly of the hanging animal open, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amudav taught that if the Karas HaPnimi, the inner paunch, the first stomach was punctured or the outer karas was torn, it's a trefa. Amoraim give numerous definitions of the Karas HaPnimi. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says it's the Marfata, which means the area the butchers exposed when they slit the belly of the hanging animal open. This opinion was followed in Nahar Dah, and a Mamar explained that all the other opinions are accommodated by this opinion. So the passenger on the non-stop flight who showed his seatmate how to compare holes in the intestines by rubbing on the new ones stared at the man who thought he could stomach the video identifying the Karas HaPnimi as the area the butchers exposed when they slit the belly of the hanging animal open, but got horribly nauseous next to the man watching a video if a tear in the Karas HaChitzon needs a tefach or rove to make it a treif, which reminds us in the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda said regarding a torn Karas HaChitzon that hagdoa tefach, for a large animal the measure is a tefach, v'katana beruba, and for a small animal the measure is with most of the Karas HaChitzon. Rabbi Lazar says that a large animal doesn't mean the very largest animal, nor does a small animal mean the very smallest animal. Rather, koshin nikruba tefach will have a ruba, any case where a tefach of the Karas is torn, and it is not yet most of the Karas, this is the large animal, the Mishnah. And wherever a tear of most of the Karas would be more than a tefach, this is the small animal of the Mishnah. Daf Nun Alf. So the Simmer Daf Nun Alf is a beaver because beavers gnaw. So here goes. The Shochet used beaver skins. Beaver? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Alf. Gnaw. The Shochet used beaver skins to teach his students about Machat Shenimsis Ba'obi Besakosos and the difference between if it punctured one wall or two, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Machat Shenimsis Ba'obi Besakosos. If a needle was found in the thickness of the reticulum, a double-walled bulge at the front of the paunch, if the needle only protrudes from one side, meaning from the inner wall, it's kosher because the outer wall is presumably intact. If it protrudes through both walls, it's a trefa if the puncture occurred before the Shechita. The Gemara goes on to detail how this is determined. So the Shochet used beaver skins to teach his students about Machat Shenimsis Ba'obi Besakosos and the difference between if it punctured one wall or two was delighted when a beaver jumped to the ground through a skylight, demonstrating to them that if the animal assessed itself to make the jump, there's no risik ivarim, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that Nafla Mina Gag, if an animal fell from a roof, it's a treva because of a concern for risuk evarim, concussion of the limbs. Rav Huna says, if one left an animal above on a roof and came later and found it below on the ground, we're not concerned for risuk evarim because we assume the animal descended intentionally rather than fell. So the show could use beaver skins to teach the students about makach and nimses ba'obi bezakosos and the difference between if a punctured one wall or two was delighted when a beaver jumped to the ground through a skylight, demonstrating to them that if the animal assessed itself to make the jump, there's no risuk evarim. And another beaver who fell off the roof began to walk around. Which reminds us, regarding Amisha's ruling that a nefula, a fallen animal, is a trefa, Rav says, amda in its tzricha me'ez la'ez, if the animal stood up after falling, it doesn't require waiting 24 hours before shechita, and it's permitted immediately. Ordinarily, a nefula can be permitted if it survives 24 hours before being shechted. Still, it certainly requires an internal examination. If it walked after the fall, it doesn't even require an examination and is permitted outright. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi requires an examination in this case as well. All right, so now it's time to cook with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do we discuss what the din is if the lung is found punctured in a place where the butcher handles the shechita? That's on daf Memtes. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you discuss the din of discolored lungs? And we bring the mice with Rabbi Nassim giving guidance for mila of discolored infants. That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you discuss the concern for risuk evarim when birds get caught on a glue board? That's on daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you discuss when the chest wall can seal a hole in the lung? That's on daf Memches. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you discuss concerns for risuk evarim, concussion of the limbs, where the animal may have descended intentionally? That's on daf Nun Aleph. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you discuss a lung with an extra lobe? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you discuss what is the kars hapnimi? That's on daf Nun. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have in machlokes whether an animal is a trefa if a needle was found in the lung and there's no discernible hole? That's on daf Memches. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss whether there's a concern for puncture when the lung is stuck to the chest wall? That's on daf Memches. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you learn that a lung which dried up partially is considered a trefa if it crumbles when pressed with the fingernail? That's on daf Memvav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.